it's a very fine line, because you can ask God why, and if you don't begin to address that and work out that in your life, you're going to have a temptation to begin to get mad at God. When you're asking God why did something happen, you have to be very careful, because the why can turn into blaming God and being mad at God. And God doesn't want you mad at him, but I'm going to also just say there's times where people get mad at God. Now let's just take an honesty poll. How many of you can ever say there's been at least a time or two where I got mad at God? Okay. Here we are. Now I'm going to tell you something. You can't stay mad at God. And a lot of times how we got mad at God is because something happened in our life and we felt like, because we know who God is, we know that he could have stepped in at any point in time and made it to where we didn't have to go through that hard time. He could have prevented it. You know, there's so many things that we tell ourselves, well, God, you could have made this not happen, or God, you could have done this, or you could have done that, but you didn't, and you allowed it, and I'm mad at you because I know you could have prevented this, and you didn't. And you cannot stay mad at God. And a lot of times, like I said, the way we get to that point is because we don't have a conversation with God like Moses did. When Moses heard those people crying, he asked God, why did you do this to me? Why did you bring the trouble on me? Lord, all I did was exactly what you told me to do, which is help free these Israelites, and now all they've done since day one is complain about every single thing that you've done for them. So let's continue on. It says, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Now, the next sentence is so important. It says, what have I done to displease you that you would put the burden of all these people on me? Now, I'm going to go back to religious people. Okay? Religious people, this is what they think. Any time that something bad happens to somebody, they think that they are God, and they want to figure out that person, something bad happened to them because they did this, this, and this. And I think that if we are all very honest, we have probably all done that at least one time in our life. We have seen somebody go through something tragic or awful, and we have looked at them and said, well, God's punishing them because they did this, this, and this. And I'm going to tell you something, God ain't into that. And when you're looking at somebody and you're trying to figure out why they're going through what they're going through, you need to give your little pea brain a break, because, see, you don't know even half of what's going on in their life. And instead of trying to think about what they could have possibly done, we really should just pray for people. Because most of the time, Dwayne, it's not something they did. Amen. How many have ever been put through a battle and you didn't do nothing to deserve the battle? Amen? And so Moses did what a lot of people do when something comes up. He began to try to, with his human mind, rationalize why he could be going through that. And he asked God, God, what did I do to deserve this? Now, I want to point out something very, very important about this specific encounter with Moses that you don't hear a lot of people bring out, because they're so wrapped up with all the plagues and all the exciting stuff that they don't read the very details of the Bible. But when I tell you, you can hang on every word in the Bible, you can hang on every word. When Moses said, what have I done to displease you? What have I done to deserve this? It was never a matter of what he did. But it was this fine detail right here. Moses was going through something simply because of his calling. He was going through something because of who he was. Because God had set him apart from birth, saved him from birth for this moment in time to save those people to be used by God. And trouble comes to us sometimes because of who we are in the calling of God that is on our life. The Word says that the callings of God come without repentance. See, the calling is going to be on your life, and you're going to be down here. You can answer the call, or you can try to run from the call, but your calling is always there. And there are times where you're going to be in your calling, and you're going to be miserable because, see, it is going to cost you to take up your cross and to follow God. It's going to cost you at times to do that. It's going to wear on you mentally to be that person that you're supposed to be, to do the right thing when nobody else is, to stand in faith when everybody's trying to tell you, oh, it's okay if you just do whatever. No, if it ain't okay on day one, it's not okay on day 21. There's going to be times where something goes on in your life and it's going to be heartbreaking. And you're going to be tempted to ask God, God, why did you allow this? And I'm telling you, it's okay to ask God why. And I've also brought you to a place in the Word where a mighty man of God, he asked God why. Now, how many of you are parents? You got kids. How many of you have ever had to tell your kid to not touch a fire? That's an easy one, right? Did you explain to them why not? Larry's going, nope. I believe that, Larry. I remember way back in the day, we had this car. And when I would get in there, I would push the cigarette lighter in. And I don't even think Dad remembers this, but he would tell me not to do it. And when he wasn't looking, I would do it. That's the kind of kid I was. The moment you take your eye off of me, I am doing that thing that I was told not to do. The deacon over here, he's going, yeah, that's exactly how she was. God takes those type of people and he makes them pastors because pastors know what to watch for in people. So, one particular time, I think he just got sick of telling me, stop doing that. And he watched me, and I didn't think he was watching me, but I shoved that thing in there. And then I took it out, and I put my finger in it. And it burned the fire out of me. And he says, that's why I've been telling you this whole time to not do that. You know what? It's okay to ask God why about something. Now, let me just also tell you this, because I've got people, and they may get the wrong impression about something. Let me make a clarification. It is okay to ask God why. However, you do not need to get in the habit of asking God why about every little thinking thing. Because at the end of the day, God is trying to mature you as a believer to go with the flow of what he has told you to do in your life. But when the big things come up and you're hurting and it's going to stay in your crawl until you get an answer, you need to ask God. God, why? God, why? And so Moses, he did this. What have I done to displease you that you would put the burden of all these people on me? Verse 12. Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? See, now he's just being a smart aleck. How many of you have ever been a smart aleck with God? I have been. Friday, I was telling God, of all the people that could be hurting right now, I can think of some other people that deserve this a lot better than my mama. And then I began to name them off. Because I was having a moment where I was asking God, why? And as much as I tried to get it out of my craw and out of my heart and out of my soul, I was madder than a hornet. I can almost handle things happening bad to me more than I can handle it happening to my family. And I began to tell God, Lord, after all we've done and all the serving and all the stuff. And see, we try to rationalize with our natural mind. And if that's you, I'm going to encourage you to do what I had to do on Friday. I kept feeling God say, Kelly, I'm going to ask you to step up taller. I'm going to ask you to come up higher. Because see, you in your natural mind, you are asking me why, but I am a supernatural God. And you cannot even begin to imagine what I'm doing. And Moses, he was sick of these people. How many of you are sick of your problem? You're sick of what's going on. There's some things, and you want God to turn them around because you're sick of it. Amen. You know what? When you're sick of something, I'm going to encourage you to keep it real. When somebody, you know what? You can't afford to be fake. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's fine. My whole life is on fire, but I'm going to tell Sally Sue it's all good. No, you can't afford to do that, because if you do that one too many times, you're going to be a very confused individual. And that is why I have stopped asking people in Walmart how they're doing. Because every once in a while, Jimmy, I come across a real honest person like myself, and then 30 minutes later, they ain't even broached the real reason why they ain't doing fine. But most people, they're like, oh, we're all good. Keep it real with yourself. And if you're hurting and you're angry, ask God. So here we are, and he's being a smart aleck to God, and he says, did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land that you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all of these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. And in verse 14, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. There's times where you're in your battle and you're telling God, I cannot handle this one more day. God, I cannot do this one more second. This is the part of the word that you won't like, because see, the word of God tells you God will never give you more than what you can bear. People don't like to read the word in its fullness, because the word is full of truth, and sometimes that truth is very hard. Verse 15. I love this verse because it shows humanity. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. And this is Moses, and he's had this conversation with God, and he said, God, if this is how you're going to treat me, then you just kill me off right here and right now. Sometimes the things going on in our life feel so unbearable that we get confused in our thinking, and we feel like God is mistreating us. But I want to tell you that before you even prayed that first prayer for whatever the heck you're up in the middle of, God already began to work on your problem. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was going through something, and finally the Lord sent an angel, and the angel told him, Daniel, on Day one, when you prayed that first prayer, God heard you, but there was a holdup for 21 days. See, sometimes there's a holdup in your process, and instead of you getting mad at God, you need to just have a conversation with God. How many of you are married in here? I'm going to get real personal. Pay attention. Because we're going to give you some tips on what not to do. But how many of you married people have ever gotten so mad at your spouse that you gave them the good old silent treatment? How many of you would find that very ineffective? Don't do it. I'm telling you, it don't work. Because in order for a relationship to work, there has to be open communication. And your relationship with God is no different. Your relationship with God is no different. So if you're mad, or if you're hurting, and you're just saying, God, why? Open up that line of communication and you begin to talk with God. And I've got here in my notes, Moses went through this trial not because of what he had done, but because of who he was and the calling that was on his life. We have to make sure that we are not letting our emotions manage us, that we are managing our emotions. Now go with me to Numbers chapter 11, and we are going to read a little bit more here. And the first point that I want to bring out is this right here. First of all, you don't need to give God the silent treatment. I was talking with someone, this has come up so many times over the past 5 years, but I was talking with someone months ago, and they said, you know, I'm really mad at God right now. And a lot of times, people just watch my face when they tell me that because they're waiting for me as a pastor to come to God's defense. And I just looked at that person and I said, well, have you told him? Have you told him? This person said, well, no, I haven't been talking to him. I said, well, I would encourage you to have a conversation. Because, see, God is waiting to fill you up full and to take all that pain away, but you're going to have a conversation with him because you can't stay mad at God. You can't stay mad at God. You talk to some people and they walked away from God 20, 30 years ago because of something that they thought that God did to them. Because see, when something bad happens, we, as human people, we want to have someone to put the blame on. And many, many times, that person is God because we see God and we know that he could prevent everything that would ever hurt us. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you're that person, if there's been some things going on up inside of you, you know what? Have a conversation with him. Amen. Because the why can very easily turn into anger and resentment. So when we come to that place when we're asking God why, and we don't want to shift that why into anger with God, one of the number one things that we need to remember about God is this right here. God wants your heart, no matter what condition that it's in. If your heart is broken, God wants that broken heart. If your heart is whole, God wants that whole heart. If you feel like your heart is in a million pieces, God wants every piece. If you feel like half of your heart's here and half of it's here, God wants it all. So the first thing that I would tell you is that God wants your heart no matter what shape it's in. You can't afford to give God the silent treatment. Point number two, it's okay to ask God why. You can't question Him about everything. But if something's going to stick inside of you and it's going to stay and cause you to get bitter and cause you to get angry and cause you to just be that way, you need to ask God why. And you need to open up that line of communication. Number three, a relationship cannot live or thrive without communication. And your relationship with God is no different. Your relationship with God is no different. When the Manna Center was being built, that was like a roller coaster ride that I couldn't get off of for 3 years. Because there were times where it looked like it was going to happen. And then there were times it didn't look good. Then the next week it would look like it could happen. And then the next week, there's no way that can happen. And then all these things. And God told me, if you'll just stay constant with me, if you'll ride this out with me, I'll see it to the completion of it. But you cannot afford to get off of this journey, because the moment that you do, you're going to have a lot of trouble, Kelly. Whatever God has ordained for your life, there is not a demon in hell that could cause that to not happen for you. But sometimes we can get up in our own way because of our own thinking, and we can slow down the process. And I am telling you today, you cannot stay in that place of anger with God. It will not only slow you down, but it will come to a complete stop with you. I would tell God, I got to the point where finally I just said, God, that Manna Center was your idea. And because it was your idea, God, it is your obligation. And I'm going to go on and I'm going to have a good day, because I'm not going to worry about something that you planned. Because God, if you planned it, it's got 100% success rate. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 100%. A relationship cannot live or thrive without communication. A lot of people say, well, God already knows I'm mad at Him. Or God already knows I'm upset about this. Yeah, there's some things you need to hear yourself say. When we open up and we have that intimate conversation with God, He is able to enter into the conversation with us and begin to minister healing to our hearts and solution. God doesn't want us as His children to be or to stay mad at us. How many of you have got grown kids in here? How many of you, your grown kids, ever gotten mad at you? And you could not stand it. I'm going to tell you all about a time I got mad at Dad. So, we were literally sitting. I was sitting here. Carson Paul, who is my 12-year-old now, was sitting right in the middle, and Dad was sitting here. Now, my dad was one of the strictest people that I've ever met when it came to raising us girls. He was strict. Really strict. We could not talk to boys on the phone till we turned 16. Not on the phone. Look here, every time he left, we were on the phone. And we had a phone. We had a person that got to be on the phone. And then we had a watcher. And we would literally, somebody would stand at the window and watch for him. But we were going to talk to those boys. I know. Poor Dad. But I had Carson Paul. And Carson Paul, I had a lot of trouble having him. And I ended up having to take fertility medicine to have him. So he is a brat. He's an even worse brat now. And he was about 3 or 4 years old. And I had him sandwiched in the on the front row between me and Dad. And he was giving me a hard time. And Dad leaned over. And he tapped Carson Paul on the chest. And he got nose to nose with him. And he said, "If you don't stop, so help me God, I'm going to get you." And I'm going to tell you what. I was so offended at that. That when the service was over, he wasn't even done praying over the service to be done. And I had done snatched up Carson. I had done gotten in that car. And I had done drove to my then house in Paris. And I was ticked. Because in my mind, I said, ain't nobody going to tap my baby's chest and tell him anything. Now, I'm his baby. God will go through great lengths for you to not be mad at him, because he loves you more than he loves anything else. He loves his children. Now, any of you that know Dad real well, it never pays to be mad at him, because he will show up on your front doorstep. And that's exactly what he did. I told my husband at that time, do not let him in here. I mean, I was so mad. Do not let him in here. He lets him in. Dad comes into the kitchen. And I've got Carson Paul there, and I've babied him, and I've made over him, and I've pet that demon of disobedience on him that at the time I didn't realize was a thing. And he said, "Kel, I have a feeling that you're really upset with me, and I'm really sorry." And I thought, you're darn right. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're his papa. This is my baby. Ain't nobody going to do my kid that way. Look here, I just wish somebody would do my kid that way now. I'm like, God, please, get on to him. Something. Somebody help me. I have thought about that countless, countless times. Since the day that that happened. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will go through great lengths for you not to be mad at him. And God is never in the wrong. But he will meet you right where you are at in that frustration and that anger at him. He will meet you there, and he will fill you with love. And if you will allow him to, he will begin to talk to you and begin to show you great and mighty things that he has in his word, that he has some promises for you. I could not see at the time that he was 3 years old that I was actually the one that was in the wrong. There are times where we get mad at God and we are so sure that we are right. And then time and maybe years go by and we see that God was actually in that moment when we got mad at him, he was helping us. If you don't understand why you're going through something, instead of getting mad at him, instead of leaving him, instead of saying, I don't want to serve you no more, God, I've done this, this, and this, and you've allowed this to happen, instead of all of that, just have a communicated talk to him. Talk to him. Because, see, God made you in his image, and he gave you emotions. And you have to manage the emotions, or the emotions are going to manage you. And the first thing that the devil wants to do to you is to get you mad at God. And a lot of people get mad at him because they never talked to him about the problem in the first place. So in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, in verse 15, it says, if this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. In verse 16, see, Moses did something that very few people will do, which is just talk to God and ask God why. Verse 16 says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders, who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. There are times that are hard on people, and if you will talk to God and you will tell God, Lord, this is hard on me. God, I feel alone. Lord, this and Lord, that. If you will have a conversation with him, God will specifically pick people to put in your life. He will bring people to your life that are going to stand there with you while you go through what you're going through. And I have learned that those people will be the biggest blessing to you. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them, that they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning that God loves you so much. If you're going through something hard this morning, talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. Because, see, he wants to come in and he wants to have that conversation. And you're going to get on the other side. It's not a matter of if you will, you are. Can you trust God when you don't understand? Hurting people are the people that ask God why, not bad people. You're not a bad person if you ask God why. A lot of people, I've grown up, people being religious and all sorts of stuff, and people would say, well, if you had enough faith, you would never have to ask God why. Well, you know what? You can just take that religious attitude and go somewhere else with it, because, see, that ain't really working for people. See, God would much rather you just have a conversation and talk to him about it. We have a very limited perspective. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. We have a very limited perspective. We can't see everything about our battle. And we don't understand everything about our battle. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read verses 8 through 13. And these are promises from God in his word that if we will plant them inside of us, we can stand on them. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. That is why it is so important for you to know what the Word of God says. Because when you know what the Word of God says, you have an understanding that God said that for your life. And because He said it, His words don't come out of His mouth and go void. So when you say, Lord, you said in your Word that you've already healed me. So God, really, the only thing that's left is for me to just begin to thank you and stand on the promise of the healing. Lord, you said in your word that you would help me. Lord, you said in your word that you'd give me a sound mind. You said in your word that you would restore everything that the enemy has taken from me. See, when you know the word, you understand that God will not allow it to go out and not do anything. But you have to know the Word. And the Word has told you today that if there's something going on in your life and you're upset about it and it's going to stick up inside you, you need to have that talk with Him and ask Him why. Because, see, He wants to talk to you. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. See, your battle was not meant to do anything but push you forward. God doesn't see what you're going through right now as something that He's not bringing you through. He's bringing you through to the other side of it. And that's a done deal. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. I called my dad on Friday. And we were talking, and I said, I'm just having a hard time. Now, Dad wants to fix everything that I'm having a hard time about, and that's just a part of being a good parent. I said, I'm having a hard time not being mad at God over this. And he said, Kelly, don't be mad at God. He said, and you know what? Your mama ain't mad at God for what she's going through right now. He said, and you know what, Kel? Your mama is saved to the bone. The Word says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I have never, never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I want to talk to that person today. And you say, you know what, I'm having a hard time right now. Because I've been tempted to be mad at God, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because see, right now what God wants to do is He wants to put some understanding of where you haven't been able to understand why you're going through what you're going through. He wants to put healing and peace into your life where there's been an unrest. And He doesn't want you being mad at Him. If you're in your home right now and you're watching this broadcast, I'm going to ask you to get off of your couch. If you need to be standing, and I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to push your hands up. Because, see, God loves you so much, He doesn't want you being mad at Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, You see every single person. And God, what I know right now is that You love every single one. Lord, I thank You that You are meeting them right where they're at. And God, I pray down right now that divine wisdom that can only come from You. I ask for healing to begin to flow in the hearts of Your children right now. God, for every offense, for every hurt, for every snare that's been put there, Lord, I thank You right now that You have canceled every single bit of that. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that where there has not been a way, God, You have made a way right now. And Lord, we praise You, God, and we thank You for it. We give You all the glory, we give You all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we are going to get some food out. If you will give us about 5 minutes and